Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport here in the UK, your new home of NXT UK, our very own division, announced at the Royal Albert Hall this week. We'll review two brilliant nights, not too many spoilers, we promise, across the last two nights, plus Money in the Bank and NXT TakeOver. What a 4 days WWE is having, plus New Japan announced G1. We'll do some indie stuff as well. So much to cram in on the Pro Wrestle Show. Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention, we're also going to hear from Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Is that enough for you? Is it? Are you not entertained?
Are you all right? Really?
No.
I know you've been out for the last couple of nights at this NXT thing, but you're just... Also, 2K sent you some biscuits, and you're so sugary, I think they've sent you loopy.
WWE 2K sent us to promote the fact that they have announced that AJ Styles is their cover star for the new game. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fully deserved. And that they are doing this $1 million challenge. It's for a new mode of the game, which hasn't been announced yet. But you're going to have to play through the mode, then take on the other people who either score the highest or do the best in a live, like, quarterfinals, semifinals, final. And then the winner gets to take on AJ Styles on 2K19. And if you beat AJ Styles, you win $1 million.
I mean, AJ Styles might be rubbish. So you play all these really amazing people, then you play him, and he's like me, just kind of not knowing how to pick up a chair, walking the wrong way round, pressing the wrong button, forgetting to tap to submit.
Apparently he is a big gamer.
Oh, in that case.
But he's
I met him in game in Nottingham. Of course he's a big gamer. Yeah. There's a picture of me hounding him when he was trying to go undercover.
So I think he is meant to be quite good, but... surely he's going to put you over. If you get to the final, they're not going to be like, if AJ Styles wins, the $1 million just goes back into our pocket.
Imagine that. Imagine they do it and then they fix it so AJ just wins.
So to promote that, they sent us a load of biscuits inside a Money in the Bank briefcase.
I don't know which I was more excited for. Because I love a briefcase, but I do love a biscuit.
Right, we should kind of map out what we're going to do in today's show, because there's a huge amount to cram in. We've got audio, and we had press conferences this week with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Trent and Tyler, with Pete Dunne, and we're going to hear from various bits and pieces from all of them as we go through the show. No specific set interview this week, but we're going to have obviously loads of reaction to the announcement of the UK brand. If you haven't heard anything about the UK shows, we are going to talk about the stuff that is openly public already. So the winner of the tournament, whether or not Pete beat them in the final, the other big result from the second night, and we will, and generally kind of the stuff about the tournament announcement. I'll tell you if matches were incredible. For example, the six-man tag Undisputed era against British Strong Style, or as they're calling the Mustache Mountain, and Pete Dunne.
Weird, isn't it?
Was unbelievable. Genuinely some of the most fun that I've watched in a ring before. Absolutely incredible. But I'm not going to tell you how it finished or anything. I'm not going to give you anything away that.
So basically, if you don't want to hear anything, if you've kept your head in the sand, put a different podcast on now. Put Adam Buxton on.
And the excellent and the good news as well, but beyond anything else, is that on the second night, when they brought out the entire of the roster for the new NXT UK division, Ginny was with them, because people will have heard about this, I imagine. The original plan was there was going to be a fatal four-way on the first night to who would face Shayna Baszler on the Tuesday. It was then during the match, Isla Dawn, I believe it was, it was Isla Dawn went for a crossbody off the top rope onto Ginny and Killer Kelly. Ginny ended up taking the full weight of the crossbody just because of positioning and stuff. There was no botch or anything. Hit her head on the outside, and was, from what we understand, and we spoke with some of the guys backstage, that she was out cold. They stopped the match there and then, rang the bell. She got backstage on her own weight, and then they made the announcement and then brought the three women out and did it as a triple threat match instead. So imagine when you see it on the network, all you'll see is the announcement followed by a triple threat match. I don't think they're going to show you. Yeah, well, I think the announcement will be on there, surely.
Well, no, but they could just brand it for the TV audience that there's just the triple threat match.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think there will be... Yeah. The announcement about the UK brand, I mean, not...
Oh, right,
yeah,
not
the announcement
about
Ginny.
Yeah, no, of course.
Exactly, they will just present to you the triple threat match. So that happened as well, but...
That's tough for Ginny, isn't it? But, you know, she's going to be involved going forward, so I'm sure she'll be all right.
It was honestly a wonderful two nights. And the crowd, considering on the first night, it wasn't completely full because the England match seemed to have a lot to do with it. And we did get the result during the night. But when they brought out Johnny Saint and made the announcement, it was incredible. The place just absolutely blew the roof off. What we know about this new UK division, if you've not watched the videos online, and do check out our Twitter page. But at the top there, by the way, Dahlia Black.
A big hats off to her.
I got after that chant, I got a shoes await chant going off the back of it, because, you know, it was Gibson and Pete Dunne, and the shoes await thing went down really well, but AMAC from Give Me Sport thought that I'd made that up and was like, oh my god, Will Gavin, what a chant. I was like, no, do you not remember when he threw a shoe at Roderick Strong on the TV?
I love how you're trying
that's
to
been a chant
in.
Already no I
musting in on Dahlia Black's chant there.
It's all about carrying it on, but that was genuinely incredible, and has gone, we trended a little bit, it's on like various wrestling news websites.
Yeah, it is,
and stuff,
we had so. Bret Hart the week before slagging off Eric, and this week we've got people waving shoes around in a royal building.
Yeah, wonderful.
It's impressive. I think we've done quite well so far. Can I add that I wasn't there, which is why I'm actually quite enjoying hearing about it, as much as I'm enjoying hating you for going and not... you technically did invite me, I just couldn't come.
So this is where the spoilers come from this point
onwards. Yeah, spoiler alert. Now...
I know, first of all, what we know about the UK scene so far. There's going to be a men's division, led by the current championship. There's going to be a women's division and a tag division, both with a title of their own. We know that there are... we know quite a few, I mean, tag team-wise, that are already involved. We already know that the Coffey Brothers are going to be together based on something that happened in the tournament and then a run-in that they did on the second night together as the Coffey Brothers. Mm-hmm. And that there are a few other quite clear tag team pairings. When the Coffey Brothers did their run-in on the second night, it was on Travis Banks. Now... whilst TK Cooper didn't come out and save Travis Banks, you imagine that if they can just put the South Pacific Power Trip together in WWE, that's probably going to be the easiest
way
to do it.
That'd be nice.
So there are going to be tapings, and then the women's division, I mean, Charlie Morgan, Tony Storm, Ginny, Killer Kelly,
Isla Dawn.
There were a few more on the stage at the end. Right at the end of the whole weekend, Triple H brought the whole group of them out to the stage, and they celebrated. And then they did a lap. They came down and actually did a lap of the ring, high-fiving everyone, which Triple H told us in the press conference afterwards was completely improvised. Their plan was to come out to the stage, wave. He was going to do a "We Are NXT" thing, and then he just went. And then, like, as people started to leave the stage, he went, guys, go for a lap of honor, go around the ring, high five everyone, like kind of an in the moment thing. And he wouldn't tell us who, but somebody went up to him and said, "Even the heels."
It's
so good.
It shows good integrity. So obviously, by the way, someone who's not going to be involved, I imagine, is CCK, and it now makes sense why Chris Brooks said that he turned down a WWE offer recently. Presumably, they're looking at bringing CCK in.
But... yeah, and it's a shame if they're not going to be involved. It's going to be a shame if they're not going to be involved with that stuff, because with a tag division, they would be great in there. Kid Lykos, have we spoken since Kid Lykos?
No, he came back. Yeah, he came back, but I don't think we talked about it. And obviously, they're now sort of being listed as CCK again.
Well, they're performing this weekend at Progress on Sunday in Camden. They're entering the tournament now. So, so CCK, that would be a great team to add to it. Eddie Dennis was the other thing I was going to mention. Eddie Dennis was one of the ones on the stage. Obviously, he didn't take part because he's still coming back from injury officially. He did wrestle his first matches last week in Attack in South Wales and in Cheltenham. And he's going to be coming back full time from July onwards. So really, really elated for Eddie and really glad that he's signed up. Tapings. They're going to be in Cambridge. I'm going to try and get them in the right order, but I'm going to fail.
I've got them right in front of me, so I'll
that's going to make it much easier.
Do you want me just to read them?
Yeah.
Right, so Saturday, July the 28th and 29th in Cambridge, correct? At the Corn Exchange. Then Saturday, August the 25th and August the 26th, which is the bank holiday. That's at Insomnia, the UK's biggest gaming festival at the NEC. That's a nightmare if you go to Reading Festival, but other than that, great. What was your finger for there, Will?
I was trying to remember them. I now remember the order. Plymouth next.
That's right. Plymouth Pavilions, October 13th and 14th. Interesting they're not doing anything in September there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final one?
Well, you know what's at the end of September? What would have been the last week of September when they'd normally do tapings?
Don't know.
Hello, Wembley. Could be that that's involved.
Could be that that's involved with Progress.
They could bring some NXT stars into it.
You speculator. Final tapings.
I'm fantasy booking again.
Stop it. final tapings that they've announced, at least, November 24th and 25th in...
Liverpool!
At the Olympia.
Yeah.
So imagine that with Zach Gibson. Ooh. I mean, if he's going to win the title, I have an idea where it would be good.
Should we hear from Zach Gibson?
Or lose the title, actually.
God, that would be, I mean, it could be ultimate heeldom, but should we hear from Zach Gibson? I asked him about the fact that he is going to get a chance to return as part of the UK brand to wrestle at the Liverpool Olympia.
Unbelievable. I've wrestled at the Olympia before. That venue means a lot to me. Anytime I'm in the city, you know, Scousers and Marmite, your lovers or your haters, but we still stand by our own. So I might get booed out the building at the Royal Albert Hall. I might get booed out the building in Plymouth. But when we hit Liverpool, it's going to be fever pitch. We're going to take the roof off the place.
Zach, for those of us who know you from the indies, I think we were all waiting all the way through download, all the way through now, for you to get a mic in your hand. Was that always planned for the end there? And what was it like to promo in front of the fans of Royal Albert Hall?
Well, nothing in this job's planned. A lot of people like to point fingers here and there. They like to speculate about this and that. But after I've just been in a ring for 45, 50 minutes straight, after I've just lost my body weight in sweat, I think I could qualify for the old Cruiserweight Classic now. After I've done all of that, just try and take a microphone off me. I feel like if I look at that guy and he can see me looking back at him and I say, give me that microphone, they're going to give me it. Microphones don't come easy in WWE, but after you've won 3 matches on the bounce, after you've put your name into the history books, I feel like I deserved it, and obviously they thought the same.
I also asked him there about getting on the mic as a heel. It was so good when he finally got on the mic on the first night after seeing him at Download and not doing it. The heat that he drew, and then we had the Dahlia Black and the shoe stuff on the Sunday. He's going to make a great lead heel. Him and Joe Coffey seem to be the two guys. They're pushing his heels at first. Eddie Dennis makes a great heel in this run he's doing in Progress, but we know he works face really well as well. I'm so excited from a talent perspective for this. I think it's going to be really, really good. And there were a few doubters on Twitter, but honestly, it was phenomenal. Do you want me to? I don't know how much I should talk about the actual tournament itself, because I'm not going to talk about any of the matches in the tournament. What I will tell you is that on the Sunday night, so we've got some stuff to play you. So I guess let's think through it. So Saturday, I mean, you went down on the first night. Sunday, like you're saying, Monday, Tuesday.
Monday, I went down and they did the press conferences. Yeah. Where basically, they brought out the first round, is it? It's kind of like the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. They brought out all the people there and they sat together and they spoke to the media. And it's very interesting. A lot of them were very complimentary of each other, which I found a little bit strange. It was kind of, most of them chose to not be in character. Zach Gibson was kind of half in character. Him and Jack Gallagher were... they're fairly respectful.
Well, there's guys like that. Like Zach does it, and Tyler does it as well. Very funny during his press conference afterwards, where he does it he's not talking in character, like he's not cutting a promo, but he still puts across like the persona a bit. He's still like the cocky cocksure, like he still does that, and it's very funny.
Well, I think actually Jack Gallagher was more in character as the gentleman, and actually when Zach Gibson got a couple of words wrong, which I don't know if it was intentional, but he used like the wrong word because he was trying to use big words. Jack Gallagher, when he started responding to that, Zach Gibson said, corrected his grammar, which I thought was quite funny. And if they worked on that, that was very good. Dave Mastiff and Joe Coffey was a little bit more tense. They were pretty much keeping to their character. I asked Joe Coffey if he was looking to make up for Scotland's failure to qualify for any decent tournament anytime recently, and he totally didn't play to the bait, which I was a little bit annoyed about. Joe Coffey was great. There was one bit where he'd obviously prepared a little thing where he wanted to use a line about it's his future so bright he's going to need sunglasses, but he kind of got sunglasses out when he thought he was about to speak, and then Dave Mastiff carried on, so he's just sat there holding sunglasses that everyone had clocked.
What's really funny about that is that's your version of the story. We both met with Kenny from Inside the Ropes, but also Steph from Digital Spy, and Ollie, who works with Kenny as well. Lovely, great group. Spend the entire time ripping the piss out of you, but they're a really nice group of people.
They were very respectful of me.
They spent the entire time ripping the shit out of me, but there we go. They were like, oh, Joe Coffey was brilliant. Did this thing with sunglasses. It was really good. And I was like,
maybe it was the angle I was on, because I was slightly on the side. I just saw him fumbling with his sunglasses while Dave Mastiff was speaking. To be honest, the bit that will be put out on the video will look cool because you won't see the preamble. Jordan Devlin and Flash Morgan Webster came out. You know, they were fairly cool. There wasn't any fireworks there. And then, actually, Travis Banks and Ashton Smith. That was the weird one, because
people were loving Travis Banks in his suit, though.
Whoa. Mate, Travis Banks
getting ladies and men hot under the collar collectively.
Travis Banks is a very softly spoken man. You know, he's a very down-to-earth Kiwi. Ashton, proper lad, perfect in front of camera. You can tell that he's very comfortable doing it. So I asked a question about, you know, whether Travis thought he'd get a lot of heat if he won the UK title being from New Zealand, and Ashton jumped in and was just like, hey, he's been in the UK for ages. Like, he's been big on the scene. He's responsible for doing loads of stuff. He's a champion in progress, and almost answered the question for him. And then Travis just went, Yeah, I've got nothing else to say. It's like he was his hype man, which is pretty weird.
So what's really funny about Travis in general is that in the ring, he works brilliantly as a face or a heel. But we've seen him work both styles, and he's brilliant both ways. And comedy. I mean, we saw him do the Bushwhackers thing as well. Like, brilliant, brilliant worker in any format. On the mic, for a guy who's very softly spoken, respectful, a really lovely guy, is an incredible heel, but I've never been a huge fan of him as a face on the mic. He doesn't do that kind of, you know, I don't know, you want the kind of, either the real kind of white meat, Johnny Gargano, Daniel Bryan, like the intensity that they're not going to lose, but they're not going to do anything to win kind of thing, and just doesn't quite come over properly for me. They're going down the face route with him, but I kind of want to see everyone as a heel. That's my problem. So Monday night was the tournament itself, plus the Undisputed Era, British Strong Style, plus the women's match. All of the matches really lived up, and the announcement as well was all incredible. And we spoke with Triple H, and we spoke with Zach and Pete afterwards, but we'll bring you some of the stuff from Sunday night. Sunday, we had, in the daytime, we went down and spoke with Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
You mean Tuesday, but yeah, it's fine.
Keep saying Saturday and Sunday.
Will, you don't have to watch wrestling at the weekend. There are weekdays.
It was some Tuesday night graps, and I just kept
Tuesday night
acting like it was Sunday.
Will didn't go to Pilates like usual.
I'm tired. I didn't go to Spanish on Monday. My wife was not happy about it. Right, so Tuesday, we went down and we got to sit down as a group. Like, there were probably kind of five or six of us asking questions, plus people with cameras.
Do you want to name check all your mates again, or?
No, I don't. Okay. Shut up. So we spoke with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. If you've seen the video on our Twitter feed of me getting ripped for asking the question about women's wrestling, go and watch it. I became like the women's wrestling guy. I kept asking questions about the women's division. And actually, coming up, we're going to have the people, the promoters behind Pro Wrestling Eve, are going to come into the studio, and we're going to have a women's wrestling chat within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll save that back for then and have that conversation then. But, you know, I got ripped on by not only the guys from Scotland, but Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Basically,
as well,
to sum it up, from an outsider's point of view, in front of like the coolest man in wrestling and the second coolest man in wrestling and a lot of press, Will decided to use percentages to argue a point, which Triple H rightfully ripped you apart for.
Yep. Yep, that's pretty much
it. That's it. You have to watch the video at Pro Wrestle Show.
But even though it was an interview about the UK scene, they were asked about a few other different bits and pieces as well. And there are a couple of stories I want to bring you. One of them we'll do in a little bit when we're talking about Money in the Bank and Raw, etc. But just this one on Triple H and Shawn Michaels talking about NXT and the idea of John Cena coming and wrestling a match in NXT.
Can't afford his pay, right? On my NXT budget, I just really can't seem to hit John Cena's level of payoff. But I'll work on it if he wants to take a pay cut. I think that there's opportunity for anything, right? Like I think Vince taught both of us a long time ago, never say never in this, and right, if the opportunity is right. As we talked about yesterday, there's different styles, there's different feels to different brands and all of that, and they all have their different places, but crisscrossing them, having them be a part of each other at the right period of time. Look, we've seen guys come down and work in NXT before or move over to do stuff like that. So just not beyond the realm of a possibility, especially if somebody really wants to do it. Like, look, if John Cena comes to me and goes, like, I have to do this at the next takeover with this person, I'm like, all right. All right, if I have to put you on there, I will.
Well, that's, you know, John's kind of guy that you'd heck John do it for free.
I joke about the money. Like that.
If he wanted to do it bad enough, he's, certainly so.
Yeah, and look, the fact that he's saying that, the value in him saying that, the value in him and the interest level to me that we're creating, that a guy like Cena goes, man, that is so cool, I'd love to do that. The fact that Rock is talking about Ricochet, or that Cena's talking about Velveteen Dream, or, you know, guys like that are paying attention to this at that level. You know, of
speaks for itself, right?
Yeah. They don't have to get in the ring with them. They just have to be able to do that and start to talk about it, and it makes the world pay attention. You know, the talent that we're talking about, they're all making the world pay attention. We're just giving them the platform to do it.
So that was brilliant, really good with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Really, really enjoyed that. And then we headed back in the evening, went for food with the guys from Give Me Sport. Can you guess what we went and got?
McDonald's?
Nando's.
Oh, my word. We've talked about this in previous episodes. They can't have anything that isn't in a plastic, in a paper container, can they?
Alex tried some of the fancy canapes when we went back to the Royal Albert Hall, and he tried some ones that were out of his comfort zone, and he did very well. I'm proud of him.
I bet he hated it.
He's a big boy. He's a big, big boy. And then on the Tuesday night, not Sunday, we had the tag match between Mustache Mountain and... Mustache Mountain.
Mushy Peas.
Mushy Mountain. Can I call the Mushy Mountain from now on? Old Mushy Mountain. The Mushters.
Oh, dear.
Undisputed Era kicked off the show. And... okay, spoilers coming.
Right, spoilers, more spoilers.
Incredible match again.
Yeah.
Went 20 minutes, really good, really back and forth, great spots, really great work. Mustache Mountain only went and bloody won.
What?
It was incredible.
I was working and Will was sending me pictures.
I still can't get over it,
you
honestly.
Lost your mind.
I absolutely lost my mind. I genuinely got a little bit emotional. Like, from having watched them in, like, indie shows and, like, building up as this NXT UK things happened and kept working, and having been there at the original announcement, to have them win a mainstream NXT title in the UK in front of the Royal Albert Hall. And I'm sorry, I don't buy into this idea that people are coming out with that, oh, well, they're going to the NXT tapings on Thursday and they're just going to drop them straight away. Because Triple H, I was going to say pounded it into us, but that doesn't sound right, does it? Kept saying to us that these brands, NXT and NXT UK, there's going to be a lot of crossover. They're intending to bring NXT guys to wrestle in the UK shows. They're intending to take UK guys to wrestle in the NXT shows. So I think they can be crossover. I think they can work in both brands. I'm not saying they're going to hold them forever, but I think they hold them until at least the next takeover.
Yeah.
And honestly, the reaction, they celebrated for about 9 minutes, because they celebrated and then the ref dragged them into the ring to lift their arms up, and then they celebrated again, then they got up to the top of the ramp, and then they just went, oh, you know what, and ran back down to the crowd again. They climbed into the crowd up to the second tier. Tennis player
John McEnroe.
No,
Andrew Castle,
the one who did it at Wimbledon very famously. Goran Ivanišević, when he climbed up into the crowd, they did that, and they got up to where their mates were, and they were holding the belts up, and the whole thing was absolutely absolutely
superb.
Did
we get any sledgehammer?
We didn't get any sledgehammer. It was just their...
Those performance rights or whatever.
It was just their US tunes. But afterwards, we got a chance to chat with Mustache Mountain again. Some really good stuff on our Twitter feed. But let's just hear from them on their reaction to to the night's events.
We're not just a part of the WWE UK or NXT UK as it's known now. We are a part of the WWE as a whole. There is no like backed into corners. It's NXT, and we've just proved like we can branch between.
Yeah,
I think you know
that's right. Like NXT UK launching that brand just means everything. Do you know what I mean? Like having the opportunity to do it here, having the opportunity to do it in a venue that WWE haven't been in God knows how many, you know, God knows how many years. And like we were talking about it today, where we were like, year ago, or last year rather, we stood in the middle of the ring and confetti came down when he was the inaugural United Kingdom champion, right? And that was the most emotional night of my life, let alone his. And then you fast forward, and you know, a year and a bit, and then we stood in the middle of the Royal Albert Hall as NXT champion, the tag team champions, you know what I mean? So there you go. That's NXT UK. Let's do this.
Just we were talking about the rival between NXT and NXT UK, but I specifically want to ask about the guys you faced tonight. They're there with the belts. They still say Undisputed Era on them, and they are...
Not for long.
They've been like the most over guys in NXT for the last year or so. What was it like working with Carl, with Roderick, but also with Adam yesterday and working with them over the last few months to get to this point?
I met Kyle O'Reilly first in 2010, and we wrestled in 2010. He was obviously very young, and I was a lot older than him, but a lot younger than I am now, and a lot fatter, and a lot worse. And then 8 years on, to be standing across the ring from him in the Royal Albert Hall, challenging for the NXT Tag Team Championships is just... It's just crazy level. You can't, there's no way you could ever think, hey, imagine if 8 years we wrestled at the Royal Albert Hall and we beat you. Come on, man.
WWE is
joking. Adam Cole, exactly the same. Like, I stayed in his house when I did my first tour of America. And I say tour, I did one match. I was there for 2 weeks, couldn't get booked. Did one match, and it was officially the worst match of the year.
It actually was the worst match of the year.
Big pop for Botchamania, but he voted it. It was voted the worst match of the year. If you want to go and find it, message him. Because I'm pretty sure Mick Foley introduces the segment. So yeah, you can go see that if you want. But that's a sign of how things have come, man. Like, it's come full circle. The crowds are up. The quality is up. The production is up. We've upped our games. It's now time to make NXT UK a global brand.
Those two are affable chaps. They were very funny. Really enjoyed that. I won't spoil any of the rest of the night. We had Adam Cole in action. He faced Wolfgang in a North American title match, and Adam Cole, baby, was as loud as you can imagine it would be. We had a tag match between EC3 and Velveteen Dream and Ricochet and Aleister Black. Again, Velveteen Dream crazy over. Really nice finish that played into some storylines. We had some tease for what the next title match would be. All of that was built into it as well, so that was really exciting. We had the women's match, which was really, really strong. The women's match finish is excellent.
We're not saying who is in it, right?
No, I'm going to avoid that entirely. So the finish to the women's match was really, really strong. I really liked it. It was something that I can't remember having seen this in specific way been done before. So I thought that was really interesting. We had some other kind of dark matches which involved UK talent. So we finally got to see Wild Boar in action. We got to see Charlie Morgan in action. So like bringing some of the UK talent and putting them in front of a crowd and seeing what they could do. Yeah, those were used as cool down matches, admittedly off the back of big title matches, but still the crowd mostly stayed engaged, mostly got involved, and that was really strong. And just again, two fantastic nights of wrestling. Genuinely, I can't remember a moment I've enjoyed as much as the tag title win. Like, it was honestly like, remember how emotional I got about Taker at Mania?
Yeah.
It was like that. Okay. I was in that kind of like state of disbelief. Combine it with the shoe stuff and everything. It was just wonderful, and it's going to be so worth watching. And if you regret not going now, get to the TV tapings. The tickets come out on Friday the 29th of June, and I reckon they'll sell out quick because they're much smaller venues and they're going to be brilliant.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to watching it next week.
Should we just hear a little bit more reaction from some of the people we spoke with? First of all, let's hear. I want to hear from Trent on Pete's match. Now, Pete faced Zach Gibson. This is the other one that's out there. It's a spoiler. It's already known. But it was a brilliant match. This is how Trent talked about Pete's match.
Who's next? Because if we've got these, then someone's going to have to come and give us a hell of a run for their money.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing who's actually got that star quality to come and step up to our level that we've built. You know what I mean? I honestly feel like the NXT UK, whatever it is, has been built on people like myself and Trent and Pete. You know what I mean? And I'm looking forward to who's going to be able to step up to our level and beyond our level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is a case of, like, you know, who is next? Who's the next person that's going to come out? And who's the next Tyler Bay? Who's the next Pete Dunne? Or who's the new Joe Coffey? Or who's the new Travis Bank? You know, or who's the next Dave Mastiff? Like, these guys have got the opportunity that we had. Do you know what I mean? I truly feel that this is a prime example of how we grabbed everything and everything opportunity and every single bit of travelling and all these, you know, 100-odd flights a year, still being on the indies, still having this incredible, magical deal that, you know, Regal and Triple H have worked out where it works on both paws, and he's doing match of the year in TakeOver with Pete. And, you know, and then we're standing here at the end of the year as NXT Tag Team Champions and Pete retains in probably the best match I've ever seen in my life. Like, no offence. But that match was incredible. You know, that's WrestleMania quality matches that you're seeing. Do you know what I mean? And I just think that, you know, if that's the bar, then, man, people are going to have to come through with some serious stuff. Or really stuff. Close to swearing there, guys. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting all held up and excited about wrestling now. Just have a match. No, I'm joking.
What I particularly love about that is the moment that Trent Seven apologises to Tyler Bate. So that's the best match I've ever seen. Sorry.
Sorry, mate.
WrestleMania level is how he described it. Impressive. Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Can I also point out the fact that didn't we call the result of every match?
We got the seven, right? Then you said you thought that that Zach Gibson was going to win.
That's true.
But we actually called the tournament perfectly.
Damn. So close.
And that headline match, again, not going to spoil anything about the tempo of the match, about the style of the match, because even though you know the result, it's well worth watching. Mm-hmm. But it was, again, Pete worked in a way that I haven't really seen him work that often before, and I like that. And it was, again, just showed the diversity, just showed the talent, the skill, the quality. Just loved it.
And the heel-on-heel work, did it?
Yeah, it did, because Pete is really, at first he's just really over with the crowd, but he's got that kind of, not quite stone cold because he doesn't do the on the mic stuff and he doesn't do the kind of hell raising stuff, but in that same kind of stone cold Aleister Black, right in the tweener zone, where he does little bits of heel work, but it's not like when he was working proper heel, when he was, like, you know, using the ropes when the referee wasn't looking, staying on for the count, finding ways to get weapons involved, all that kind of stuff. It's not right on there, but it's the stuff that's right on the edge, holding
if
on
it goes face heel, but in the middle cocky.
Yeah, he's around there, yeah.
Yeah, he's slotting in there. Good.
I would have gone with gut, but cocky's fine.
Yeah, cocky works for me.
Right, let's hear also from... we're going to hear from Triple H and from Pete Dunne now about the future of the brand and some real strong words from Triple H here. Like, he was brilliant over the whole weekend, but he was particularly good on the Tuesday night.
Look, I think it's about launching a brand and about launching a brand in a big way. But it makes for a great story, and it makes for a great continuation of that. What happens tomorrow? You're asking me the question right now. That's the goal, right? Is to give you the level of excitement and competitiveness that he talked about tonight. And when it's over, you go, yeah, but now what? Right? That's the goal of all of this. The one thing I will say that I really enjoyed about these 2 days, it's always been there slightly, but now all of a sudden for the NXT guys from the US, they just come over here, and a lot of them are sitting in that locker room last night and they're watching these guys tear it up out there, and they're going like, wow, hey, so all of a sudden we've got a competition going on here. And that, to me, raises everybody's game. When the talent here are saying, outperform those guys in the U.S. and the U.S. guys here are going, we're going to outperform those guys in the U.K. And, you know, the guys in the main roster are going, oh, we got to step up because here they come. You know what I mean? That level of competitiveness drives everybody to excel. When everybody gets complacent and, you know, in a position and there's nothing chomping at your backside, it's easy to just coast. When you have that competition, everybody excels.
And Pete, just quickly for you, they're your guys, Trent and Tyler. You've been in a stable with them for a long time. You saw the reaction they got coming back again and again to celebrate. What did it mean for you?
It's fantastic. And from obviously, for me, as a friendship standpoint, especially over the last 18 months, we've obviously bonded and we travel the world together. So it's really nice from that point of view. And I always say this, I hold Tyler as my standard. When I see him go out there today and they put on this amazing show, he's always my, okay, I need to top that. And I think that shows throughout the whole show. And it was the same when we did TakeOver in Chicago. That was our mindset. Not only were we trying to put NXT on notice and the WWE Network, but also each other. We're always pushing each other. And it's great that's the case with NXT now. You see Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano going out there doing exactly the same thing. And then that pushes us even further. And that healthy competition back and forth is really making for an exciting time in sports entertainment right now.
So that's the UK stuff. I knew that was going to take at least half the show, and it did.
That's all right. It was very exciting, and it's very relevant to us because we're not only wrestling fans, but we're also in the UK, Will. If you realise that.
And that kind of covers our UK indie stuff for this week, because there weren't a lot of UK indie shows this weekend.
There's not a lot until like the 30th. Is it because of the World Cup or something?
ICW did their monthly show on Sunday, and all reports are it was a real cracking show. Was going to try and go to Stoosh's house at the end of July. That now clashes directly with the Cambridge taping, so we're going to have to hold out to the Hydro, I think, buddy.
Their event this week was called Drunk and Drunker, by the way. Great. Little play on Dumb and Dumber. The poster was very funny.
Excellent. Yeah. So that's well worth checking out. Oh, before we go to the rest of WWE, hold on, we can talk about one other promotion.
Yeah, of course we can.
So I haven't watched. I haven't watched during they announced the G1 Climax schedule for New Japan Pro Wrestling. It was during their latest event, and I haven't watched it yet. I haven't actually watched the event yet, but the G1 offers these kind of combinations up front. It's 2 10 wrestler blocks listed in advance, and it's a big round robin tournament. And always every year it throws up like one of Okada Omega 2 was in the G1 where they've got a half hour time limit and it's more of a sprint. It's very different. But just I went through and I picked out a few matches from what I saw as being the draws, because I think it's the strongest group that I've ever seen for a New Japan G1 tournament.
Yeah.
Let me just run through some of these possible combinations for you. This is right. Let's just see. Zack Sabre Jr. will be facing Naito, Kenny Omega, and Ibushi at various points. You're going to have Naito going up against Sanada. So can Sanada tap out the leader of LIJ? You're getting Okada going up against Jay White. You're getting Suzuki Tanahashi, if you love the actual, and Okada Tanahashi as well, plus Okada against Suzuki. So all those combinations coming up in that half. And the one that really got me excited after the way they've built the story up to Dominion, Omega Ibushi, the Golden Lovers going head to head in a G1 match. Honestly, I was like, well, that just makes it's must watch every week. What I'm most annoyed about.
You know, well, you go from positive to negative so quickly. Go on.
You know I'm going to Japan.
Yes, I'm aware you're going to Japan, Will.
I land into Japan.
Yeah.
On the 15th of August.
Yeah.
The G1 climax finale is on the 12th of August. Thinking about looking at changing my flight back 4 days.
What's your wife going to say about that?
She'll be in Thailand.
Oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, do it. I'll come with you. If any airlines are listening, hit me up with a flight.
Aeroflot is who I'm flying. Guys, I'm not sure.
If anyone from Aeroflot is listening, I will hook you up with at least 2 tweets about your hospitality if you sort me out. It's never going to happen, is it?
No, and okay. It's disgusting that you let people know that that's how the world works. We also should mention the sad news that Big Van Vader passed away, which was literally today.
We literally just recording. Got that, didn't we? Yeah.
WWE, WCW star, famously an incredibly stiff worker. Like Bret Hart talked about the moment that he turned heel, he didn't want to turn heel, and the way that Eric Bischoff convinced him to turn heel was by saying, Eric Bischoff, wrong era. The way that Vince McMahon told him, I was thinking so much about that 83 weeks thing, the way that Vince McMahon told him he was going to turn heel was basically, you've been working face, there's no one else left for you to face except for Vader. And he went, all right, I'll turn heel then.
Yeah. I want me none of that.
Managed to talk him into it pretty, pretty sharpish. But died at just the age of 63, had pneumonia, heart gave out, really, really sad. So I imagine there'll be a lot more about that elsewhere.
We'll be on Raw next week, I imagine.
Yeah, we literally just got that news. So, just to kind of say rest in peace and all that. Should we talk about the ridiculous weekend that WWE has had away from the UK tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think we were actually vaguely impressed with some of it, weren't we?
I wasn't vaguely impressed. I think WWE has just had their best 5 days, particularly approaching a summer run,
yeah,
that I can remember. And I'm maybe having the gloss of the UK tournament over my eyes a little bit.
Well, I haven't, so let's see if we can say what we think.
See if we can find some nice middle ground.
Yeah, we banged on about NXT a lot, but obviously Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano was great at TakeOver. It kind of signals the end of that feud?
No. I fantasy booking this as well.
Oh.
So I thought that was their best match.
Yeah.
I thought it was even better than TakeOver New Orleans because the way that it ramped up towards the end, the story that they told. Some people haven't actually liked the whole, like, realizing his wedding ring was off, Johnny Gargano snaps, does the, you know, basically forces him to tap out twice, but there's no referees because Gargano has taken them all out.
Yeah.
And then he gets DDT'd onto the pure wood underneath of the ring. Like, it was so, like, the story of it was so brilliantly told. But I think that we are going to see, because, I mean, it's one apiece. You had Candice LeRae in there at the end. Ciampa has said on Twitter that he's moving on.
He wants Aleister Black, doesn't he?
And he wants Aleister Black. Now, as I said, at the UK tournament, they teased a different potential future opponent for Aleister Black, but it could just be a tease and nothing comes of it. You know, that happens in wrestling all the time.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
tease something's going to happen and then we never get there. Everyone's like, oh, what about... You know, the internet gets angry.
You mean how they tease that Big Cass might be the future?
Oh, we haven't talked about that, have we?
We'll get onto it.
Big Cass, by the way, that announcement came through 3 minutes after Mustache Mountain won the tag titles.
Yeah.
And it was just...
Can I just say that?
Best 3 minutes of my life.
I looked online when obviously I saw this, and no one cared. I didn't see one tweet that cared. Not even Enzo Amore cared.
So Gargano Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, friend of the show, has
headlined you.
we were DMing.
Oh.
He has headlined 3 NXT shows.
Yeah.
And got 5-star level matches out of all of them. It'd been unbelievable. Here's what I think happens. We need them some kind of jingle that goes like fantasy bookings and then like a.
Should I just get a bell or something?
Yeah, exactly. Get a bell for when I start fantasy booking.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, this is going to sound really, really odd because all out of nowhere, we're suddenly going to sound completely different.
Well, yeah, that's because there's about 10 hours in between that bit and this bit. In 3 seconds, we've jumped 10 hours. Because of work and ting.
It's a full-on time jump. We realised we had to do our real jobs midway through recording. And so we're just going to pick up where we left off. Me telling you how I'm going to fancy book Gargano Ciampa going forward. Okay?
Go on then, yeah, go on.
So, you've already heard this once, but I'm going to do it again anyway. Because the listener hasn't. Gargano, Aleister Black, Championship. Let's say SummerSlam, NXT, that weekend, Brooklyn, 4. Big match, great match, Ciampa wins it. Gargano, Ciampa somewhere down the line. Mania is probably a bit too far, but maybe Survivor Series takeover in LA. They have their rubber match. It's for the title. Gargano wins the title. Huge baby moment. Maybe Ciampa could have been torturing him for months over it, refusing to give him title matches, fighting other people. Could be a whole drawn-out thing. The same night, Candice LeRae, with them having booked her and booked her and booked her over the previous 5 months, picks up the women's title, and we get our big final Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit moment in the ring, lifting up their belts together.
Beautiful. It's a nice thought. Will it happen, though?
Probably not. And fantasy booking very rarely happens, John. That's why it's called fantasy booking.
Yeah, of course. No, I get that. Yeah, I like that. I like that. If that happened, I wouldn't be annoyed.
But the rest of the night, I mean, if you didn't get drawn in by the tag championship match, then much like Kyle O'Reilly playing air guitar with his belt, which is going to happen anymore. Somebody messaged me on Twitter saying, well, he could just do it without the belt. What I really want to see him do is, like, fake out doing it. Like, he goes to do it as if he's got the belt in his hand and then realises the belt isn't there and is just sad about it.
I mean, that would be a great gif because it would look like he's playing his knob. Don't know whether he'll do that. Well, I suppose NXT. It wouldn't work on SmackDown, but I guess it'd work on NXT.
But what was great about the tag match is that Undisputed Era are so crazily over that Danny Burch and Arnie Lorcan were playing like properly the baby, proper faces. It was like so clearly defined the roles in the match. And yet nobody, like, they were getting booed for like proper hope spots and stuff like that. There was even the moment like when Adam Cole gets tossed to the back, the crowd went absolutely nuts, which is that Lorcan hit that blockbuster off the apron and they hit the Doomsday uppercut, but Cole pulled O'Reilly to the floor when it looked like they were going to get the 1-2-3. You know, that's when you should get a big boo for the heels and then a big cheer when he gets tossed out, and it was literally the other way around.
But it was Chicago, wasn't it?
It was Chicago. Yeah. But they put in such a great effort that actually by the end the crowd got into it and, you know, gave them a lot of love and it was fine.
It was good. I enjoyed it a lot. What was the match after that? Was it Velveteen Dream and Ricochet?
It was.
I enjoyed that as well. Like, I enjoy the NXT product so much more than any of the others at the moment, like, by a mile.
I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
I think Ricochet Velveteen Dream has been a bit overrated by the internet.
Possibly a bit overrated, but still better than anything we've seen on Raw or SmackDown.
Look, like, early on, it was kind of fine, and you had that slapping fight and Ricochet hitting the drop kick, and it was all kind of going nicely. The problem is they then started to do the big spots. Ricochet hit the 619, the flying uppercut, the standing shooting star press, all that started to come out. Dream had some really good... I love the rolling DVD. The one off the top ropes was amazing, right? But I feel like what Dream... The character's great. I mean, it's the big spots, they're fantastic. And there's one great big spot moment in the UK Championship that I won't ruin, but that played into the character so beautifully. That stuff he's really getting. The problem is he's still pretty green in the ring compared to a lot of the other guys. And actually, the smoothness of the transition between spots, the making sure he keeps the facials going, those little subtleties that the top guys absolutely nail, he's not there yet, and it turned what was a potential like 4.5-star match down to like a 3.5-star match for me, which is fine. It was just a bit clunky, particularly in the first 10 minutes.
I know what you're saying. I saw the Bleacher Report gave it an A, so that is kind of the internet hyping it up more than it's worth. What do you think is going to happen like going forward now?
I know something about what's going to happen because I saw them live on not Sunday, Tuesday. So I can't
10
tell
hours
you.
Has passed, but you're still aware of that. Still aware of that.
How did you feel about the women's match?
The women's match, I'll be honest, I did fall asleep. Not because of the match, just because it was like 2:30 in the morning. Whenever I'm watching it live, I will watch the first two. And there is like a lull period. I think it's because I'm used to watching Raw and it's just not worth staying awake for the middle bit. And then I tend to wake up for the main event. So I didn't see a lot of it. Was it good? Did Nikki Cross put in a good performance?
Yeah, Nikki Cross, I mean, completely sold the crazy, like, something Shayna Baszler's never faced before. It wasn't a long match. They only went just a little short of 10 minutes. Nikki's great. Like, there was a really great moment where, actually at the ending, she was doing the whole, like, laughing and smiling when she's being struck and like getting into, but at the very end, Baszler got the choke on. Nikki countered it with like a great draping neck break, a really good near fall, but then Baszler got her back into the choke again. Nikki fought her off for a minute and then stopped fighting, looked dead into the fixed camera and just smiled until she passed out. And that was a lovely little moment, little bit of storytelling. I really like Nikki has had this kind of, she was this proper cowardly heel when she was in Sanity early on, particularly, and now she's this proper psychopath killer of a character.
Yeah,
the finish worked for me. The match itself wasn't amazing, but the finish was really great. And then we got to see Keith Lee in the crowd. So,
did you bask in his glory, Will?
Mate, I was basking in his glory all over my living room. It was wonderful. I couldn't find a spot in my living room where I wasn't basking in glory.
Even it in the corner.
So glorious was it. I could have got behind the TV and I'd still been basking.
You're a fool. Alistair Black, Lars Sullivan was all right. I thought Lars Sullivan, I've never really got him before. I sort of find him a bit dull, but I quite enjoyed this.
I think working with the right person, yeah, the monster role works, doesn't it?
Like, it does.
They get it right, but it was kind of still just fine. This, I mean, somebody said to me they thought this event was better than New Orleans, and I didn't think it touched New Orleans,
no,
personally.
Not at all.
New Orleans, you had 2 5-star matches between the ladder match and Gargano Ciampa. Gargano Ciampa, like I said before, I thought raised their game and took it from a good to a great pay-per-view in that one match. I thought it was great. I just, you know, it wasn't quite at the level of their very best work. But that's never a surprise, because it feels like Chicago last year was particularly incredible because you had that British match on there. But actually, if you go down the rest of the card, it was a lot of new feuds and stuff like that. Because actually, what happens is after Mania, they take a load of people up.
Yeah.
And you have to reestablish. And so it's, you know, it's just the nature of being in NXT. But, you know, like Triple H said, they're seeing other competition. They know they've got to raise their game.
You're a big Triple H fan, aren't you? Obviously that match ended and Black won, but it was a decent match. I mean, I don't think he was in any danger of losing. We talked about the street fight, did we already? I can't remember. It was ages ago.
We didn't get too much into the spots and stuff and really get into it in depth, the moments we particularly loved. The teases, it's just such a well-told, well-put-together thing. The teases, the way, like, he went and got the... You almost knew that when Ciampa first got the bracelets out, the handcuffs, that at some point he was going to end up in them. But the way that those came out about 10 minutes into the match and then weren't used until 35 minutes into the match...
Yeah.
And they call back to taking him back up the ramp and slamming him into the screen... a la what was done a year earlier, now a year on, like that. It was all those little callbacks, all those moments. The table spot with this finisher through the table was insanity, just yes. Craziness. The double table,
yeah.
And I've never seen anyone actually remove the entire.
No, I've not seen that before. Obviously, we see, you see the ring collapse, and we've seen all that business, and the ring posts fall off. But we've never seen someone get down to the wood, have we?
No, get down to the wood.
I'm sure it's happened before. # get down to the wood at Pro Wrestle Show. And then obviously, like, targeting the knee. Like, just there was a bit of everything in there, wasn't there, really?
No, there was everything. Not a bit of everything. There was everything and more.
A full amount of everything.
A fully load of everything.
Yep, and he got DDT'd and he lost, didn't he? Johnny Wrestling went and lost.
Friend of the show. The problem is, if we make jokes that we made 10
he's
hours
DM'd
ago,
you
giggle to ourselves.
Yeah, let's stop it. We're 10 hours tired as well. Oh, dear.
My voice is almost
all right,
entirely
well, look,
gone.
Okay, look, that was NXT, Money in the Bank. I think we were both surprised that it was actually all right. We thought it was going to be a bit naff. We kind of both watched it live, and I think we were surprised, weren't we?
I was pleasantly surprised. I think they mostly nailed it. I think my overarching problem is that back to the whole swinging from positive to negative, because they're doing now the all the pay-per-views are joints, so we're doing less pay-per-views, we're not doing two a month anymore, they feel like the pay-per-views have to be about 4 hours long. If you took out every non-title singles match, so Brian Cass, Lashley Zane, Jinder and Roman, and just had the Money in the Bank and the championship matches, this could have been their best pay-per-view in an absolute age.
It could have been. Yeah, there was too much filler. It always seemed like filler, but I mean, the kickoff show, Bludgeon Brothers, Gallows and Anderson, it's kind of nothing, was it? Like, it's kind of pointless. I guess that's purely just to. If they're using that to entice people to sign up for the WWE Network, I can't imagine they got many people to sign up for the WWE Network that night. If I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, I love Gallows and Anderson. I think they're great.
I don't get the Bludgeon Brothers. Not for me.
They had some, like, Gallows got some nice, like, big man spots in there, but it kind of just so happened. It was kind of nice to see the champions getting a bit of a test, which they hadn't really had yet. But, I thought it was fun. I thought it was better than the match that they had on SmackDown, the totally unnecessary, ridiculous extra rematch.
Yeah, no one needed that at all. Daniel Bryan and Big Cass.
William, what's his face?
William, I can't remember his name. It's not even Cassidy, is it?
Doesn't matter anymore.
No, the artist formerly known as Colin Cassidy, formerly known as Big Cass. I don't think we were really that fussed. And to have a match with Daniel Bryan in it that we're not fussed about, they really made us not fussed.
Daniel Bryan literally put him on his back and carried him the entire way. And that meant he got the best singles match that Big Cass had in his entire singles run, which kind of makes it doubly amazing that he gets sacked off 2 days later. But it still wasn't great. It was too long. It was like 15 minutes. You could have done that match for like 6 or 7 minutes. It would have been fine.
Yeah, and then followed by Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn, which, again, a feud that we've talked about loads on this show that we're just not really understanding and why these guys are being booked like this. And then rumours came out afterwards that apparently Sami Zayn is injured, which would probably be a good thing for him because it means he hasn't got to do this angle for a while.
You know what would be nice is to actually get Sami Zayn off TV for a couple of months, have him come back, really big crowd reaction. Like, I think Dean Ambrose is going to come back from this injury and get a huge push and a huge reaction. I think that's what we need for Sami Zayn. And do you know what I've loved? Is the way, we'll get to the actual men's Money in the Bank, but Kevin Owens already started his post-Sami work way back last week. And then at Money in the Bank, when he was going around and desperately trying to get people to help him out, take out Braun Strowman, like turning up at the New Day's digs with a whole bag full of pancakes and syrup. There's a great moment in that, which, I mean, I love all of New Day, but Xavier Woods is the guy I really, really like. And there's a great little moment in there where while the others are talking, Xavier Woods picks up a stack of pancakes and starts counting them like they're money. And it's just...
well, those little subtle things, isn't it?
Yeah, it was just beautiful. It was just, you know, every little moment like that counts. Every little thing like that, like, draws you in a bit more. And that's... I thought that was fantastic.
Absolutely. I love that. I'm assuming you love the Intercontinental match, Seth Rollins versus Elias.
Always love a bit of Rollins. It was a bit weird that Elias worked the neck for, like, the first 6-7 minutes of the match, and then they had Rollins hurt his knee.
Yeah.
It kind of just came a little bit. It was like this kind of sudden swerve. But it seems like, based on his Raw performance, it wasn't a real knee injury. It was, being kayfabe about it. It was a work. And other than that, I think it was a really good match. And another example that Elias can step up and deliver on a pay-per-view and be believable.
Yeah, if you've read the online stuff like I do, and I'm sure you do, Will, there's rumours that he might be becoming a babyface because of his reaction. Ooh. I mean, that's a big mistake, right? We want to see Elias being obnoxious but in a creative way with his music.
I think if he's done right, I think he could work. But I'm not sure. I don't know if I trust WWE. The thing is, we're saying that they've had a great weekend, so let's maybe give them a moment and say maybe they nail it.
Well, because
maybe they nail it.
I mean, obviously the story, we'll talk about Raw and SmackDown in a minute, but obviously the story's been taken away from, you know, Elias versus Seth, I assume, or at least for the title it has. So you've got to think that something's changed and there's a plan in action, and it looks like Seth's going to work this program with Dolph and your big man. What's his name? I don't know what his name is in WWE.
Drew McIntyre.
It's not Galloway anymore, is it? It's McIntyre. Right, I can't keep up. Drew. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Elias next. Maybe that's the only basis these people are creating these rumours on, but, you know, I don't know if I want to see a face Elias.
Well, let's kind of pair this match. Let's talk about the decision of what they did on Raw as well, because what I liked about the cross between the two matches is that you had Seth Rollins, the working champ, the guy who does the open challenges, but he had to go for the desperation hold the tights pin. Like, they traded rolled up, he uses the tights, he retained, like, had to cheat to beat him because of the knee. And then they teased that he was going to do the same in the match with Dolph Ziggler, but then Ziggler gets the cheap roll up back, telling a really good story, using the injury as well. Ziggler gets the tights. Kind of, you get the Seth Rollins desperation, you get the Dolph Ziggler being the heel. What I just don't get is, and I know that we all love Dolph, right? I don't think there's any wrestling fans who don't appreciate and respect Dolph Ziggler.
He's been underappreciated for years, I think.
But why him in that situation instead of Drew McIntyre?
Could they be setting up for him and Drew McIntyre to feud? Because they fall out? I don't know. I can't...
It's a little soon, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd think.
I mean, the problem is, again, it's trusting that WWE have a long-term plan, and I don't know if I do at the moment. No. I'm really... Like, there was stuff throughout Raw and SmackDown where they did little teases for stuff that was, like, setting up towards... Like, Extreme Rules got some actual setup going on, like the rematch for the women's title and stuff like that. But actually, some other little teases of programs they might do, and if they carry through, we might actually not get that usual, like, horrendous summer lull between Mania and SummerSlam. It might actually be a good few months. This was just... I liked taking the title off him in this situation. I really desperately now want to see what they do with Seth next. It's the main reason I'm going to tune into Raw next week. I just find... Yeah, I don't know. Why Dolph not through?
Maybe it'll all make sense very soon. Can we go back to the women's Money in the Bank match, which I really enjoyed?
So let's just go through it. We've got the two Money in the Bank matches. We still got to talk about AJ Styles, Shinsuke. We still got to talk about the women's bloody hell. We still got loads.
There's so much, Will. This is the longest podcast ever. Should we do a speed round on the rest of it?
No, because some of it's really good.
No, okay.
We'll speed round Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, let's do that.
Give Money in the Bank some proper respect. Because
Women's Money in the Bank. First observation, why did Lana dance in a really weird way when she came out? I thought she was meant to be like the classy one. She did like a whoop whoop run into. It's like some older women at Butlins walking to the dance floor kind of dance. And I know people on the internet were saying the same, so it's not just me who thinks that's weird.
It was
Emma
that really embarrassing
that
moment where the DJ at the wedding switches from something slightly hip and cooler to suddenly throwing some like
celebrate
ABBA or Wham out there or something.
Come on,
yeah, and suddenly you're
a celebration.
Heads off to the dance floor.
It was so weird. I don't get it.
No, you're absolutely right. But actually, I thought Lana was fine in this match.
I like Lana. I think she
used the ladder well. She looked. She had a hope thing of climbing up the ladder herself. The main thing to say, the overall takeaway, is last year's Women's Money in the Bank, they didn't really let them do anything. It was all very conscripted. It was all very simple. This was great. This was legitimately great. Really, really worked well. Like, the layout was really good. It was really well executed. Everyone got a chance to shine and have their moment. Still got my favourites.
Yes, I know you have.
Still, you know, still love Sasha.
Becky, do love Sasha.
Like, I think there's... I still maintain there's a Becky push coming, particularly after what they saw from the crowd reaction when she got the exploder, managed to climb, almost got the case. And some people were claiming that, like, I complained a little bit about Alexa Bliss getting the case in the first place because I didn't know what they were planning for later in the night. Should have trusted something was going to happen. But actually, people were complaining about the fact that Alexa Bliss didn't do much in the match, didn't take big bumps, and then got to claim the briefcase. And it's like, yeah, that's her character. That's she's slimy and cheats, and she's... My only problem at the moment right now is that because of what happens later, we've got Alexa and the Alexa clone from Staten Island on SmackDown, and it's a little too similar.
She's not a clone. I much prefer Alexa to your Staten Island queen. Personally, I know you love her, which is a little bit strange. Do you think the right person won, Will?
I didn't. I now do.
It kind of makes more sense now.
I was ready for them to tell the Natalia story. I was ready for them to have Becky Lynch get over. Heels having the briefcase is always the best. But what I like is that when you look at the final results from the night, with Alexa winning this one and going on to do what she did, and Braun winning the men's Money in the Bank, hashtag spoiler alert, they got rid of the women's briefcase straight away, and Braun will use it in a very different way. It's a case of, I wouldn't be that surprised if Lesnar, despite having not wrestled on Raw since Tommy Dreamer in 2002...
Hang on, is that a fact?
That is an actual fact.
Whoa.
That's the last time he had a match on Raw.
That is mental.
I wouldn't be that surprised if the next time Lesnar turns up on Raw, Strowman just cashes... Strowman! Philip Strowman.
Martin Strowman.
Oh, God.
Architect.
Like, I wouldn't be that surprised if Braun doesn't just show up, cash in there and then, beat him for the title on Raw. People would go nuts. It would
pack
be
pack him off to UFC. Goodbye. Good night.
Yeah, like, I that is definitely a direction I could see them going in. But for the women, top work. I honestly, Charlotte looked great. Sasha looked great. How good was Ember Moon again? Like,
yeah, very good. Very strong.
Oh,
and then obviously, do you want to, obviously, you know, and then...
If there's anything, we're in a speed round. We speed round Jinder Roman.
I forgot that. It's not even on my piece of paper. I've forgotten to write that one down.
It's as simple as this. Why throw those two in front of Chicago? Absolutely ridiculous.
That's it. That's the last thing we'll say on it. So, obviously, Carmella and Oscar.
And James Ellsworth.
What was... I don't know. I mean, do you have a take on why they brought James Ellsworth back? Is it just to make her a little bit more obnoxious?
To have a legitimate reason to have her beat Asuka. I think it's really stupid the way that they've done this to Asuka, of all people. They could have... Asuka didn't win a number one contenders match. Asuka, she just turned up in London and Paige announced her as the number one contender. They could have fed anyone else to Carmella in this situation, who was a legitimate contender. Natalia, even like Sasha, Bailey, anyone really, and had James Ellsworth get... Actually, the match itself, Carmella's getting better.
Yeah, a lot better. Work. Yeah, definitely.
And it helps that she's in there with somebody good.
Well, obviously.
But I didn't get Asuka selling. I didn't get Asuka actually falling for the trick. I didn't. All of that kind of didn't really click.
I like that they dressed him up because I just thought it was funny, and that time it was on in the middle of the night, that anything will make me laugh, so that was funny. And then obviously he came out on SmackDown dressed as her again and again. I thought that was quite funny. I think it's quite funny that they're making out that it's her gown when he's like a foot and a half taller than her, and it doesn't drag along the ground when she wears it. But that's just me being a nerd.
Yeah, so, it's great.
Yeah, I think it's good.
It's again, good sell. Good sell.
Do you want to talk about AJ?
You're putting a lot of this on me today, buddy. I'm ready for you to talk.
But no, it's because you particularly love AJ and Shinsuke, don't you?
Well, you know. Yeah, and again, so if you take the context out of this feud and you just go, well, they've wrestled four matches, nothing's been worse than three stars, they've gone up to four, probably stars with this one.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little over four stars. You might give it a little cheeky 4.25. If you really consider it like that, it's not a bad feud. It's just because we know these guys are capable of having five-star matches. It's a shame that we've not got that close to them. And my feeling with this was that I don't like last man standing matches.
No, nor do I. I don't even like them on the game. You know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
It takes too long.
It's you take away the false finishes, and I know some matches rely too much on false finishes. Like you look back at Alex Mack was saying this, but like Cena Rock 2, where they basically just did finishes on each other for 10 minutes, or Reigns Lesnar at Mania, where they just did finishes on each other for 10 minutes, and it's a near fall. It doesn't work. But if you have them in there as part of the context of the story, you're taking away a really good way of getting crowd heat from it, because you're making it all about the count. And basically what I thought was this was a pretty average match for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Then the Ushibashiri comes out, they end up outside, he does the across the table, announce tables Kinshasa.
He did a Styles Clash off the steps.
Yeah, exactly. And they turned it into what it needed to be, which the kind of brutal second half of it made it much, much better. But the problem is you've had Nakamura now lose three, four title matches.
Yeah. And
so
now
Lord knows what's going to happen to him now.
Yeah, well, now. And then obviously there are rumours they wanted AJ to be the title holder when the game was announced with him as the cover star. But then you've obviously seen on SmackDown that Rusev is now the number one contender after a Gauntlet match.
Man, that was awesome.
And imagine he wins the title. We were at WrestleMania and everyone there was doing Rusev Day and he wasn't being pushed. Imagine how much Rusev Day there would be around New York if he won at SummerSlam.
So here's the thing. We were talking when they first switched over, when they first did the Superstar Shuffle, about how SmackDown got the better end of it. I would have happily seen anyone in that Gauntlet match face AJ Styles. Extreme Rules.
Well, yeah.
Genuinely, any of the five I would have been happy with. I like the idea of a Big E singles push. And Big E against Bryan to begin was great. Really good.
Hang on, I've again forgotten Big E's name. Big E Branston? What is it?
It's just called Big E.
No.
Big E Branston's Pickles.
No, his name before was Big E
Langston.
Langston, not Branston. Right, good. Maybe he'll go back to Big E Langston. Probably not.
I don't know where that came from, but I loved Big E and Bryan at the beginning. I thought that the stuff with Samoa Joe worked really well. Then the Miz stuff after that, and then bringing Rusev in. Honestly, I could have had literally any of them win it, but to have Rusev win in the end, brilliant match, brilliant work. The Joe got the count out, kind of protected him when he was being the beast, and the idea of Daniel Bryan barely surviving the count out, so that keeps nobody lost out in this match. So I was all for it. I thought it was great.
You give it a chub rating? Can you give it a chub rating?
I had a good three-quarter chub on.
Three-quarter chub.
Maybe four-fifths of a chub.
I love that the chub rating goes from decimal to percentage, analog to digital.
All over the place. Kilos to pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Or am I joking? Grams to ounces. But you know what I mean.
Well, you can do a fraction of a kilo. That makes sense. Right, hang on. We need to go back to the Raw Women's Championship, which is Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax. I thought that was actually a good match until the end happened, which is still good, but I think that they actually put on a good match.
Isn't it amazing how quickly Rousey's picked this stuff up?
Yeah. She looked really nervy and awkward a lot at the start, didn't she? And now she came in, and especially on Raw, just looked like she had just suddenly clicked.
She's still got to work on a promo.
Yeah.
That's fine, but in the ring, and I think the reason that I love British wrestling, and I think a lot of other people feel the same, is that most of the time, and you still get your high flyers, and you still get your big spots, you still get all that stuff, but the stuff that British Strong Style do, it's in the name, and the guys around that, is that more Japanese Strong Style wrestling, where it's more like an actual fight.
Yeah.
We know it's not really fighting, but it feels more realistic. And coming from that MMA background, striking like she means it, the stuff, the way that they worked the arm with Jax, the whole thing felt really real. It wasn't phenomenal, but 10-11 minutes, finish protects both of them in a way. great heat on Alexa Bliss for coming out and doing it. This is just really smartly booked. Yeah. Just really, really good.
It's really good. And although you hated the fact that Alexa Bliss had won the briefcase, the contract, now it all made sense. It's
good. And all totally. I was totally wrong.
I like it, and I'm a big fan of it. I thought the men's Money in the Bank match was half decent. I mean, the Kevin Owens bit was a highlight for me.
There were crazier spots. There were the absolute moments of insanity. The big one being the off the 20-foot ladder through the table Kevin Owens moment. But what about Finn with the coup de grace off the massive ladder?
Yeah, I mean it's worse for Bobby Roode. He's the one getting the feet in the stomach. You know, if you get that wrong, that's a burst pancreas, isn't it?
Popping clean open.
That is vile.
What's your problem?
No, it's just disgusting. The thought of it.
The double and triple accolade was all very silly. Joe getting the choke. Like there were kind of. I still don't know what they're doing with Bobby Roode, but much like the women's match, most of them got a chance to shine. I wish it was Big E instead of Kofi. I think a lot of people felt that. But actually, Kofi was massively over with Chicago. Did his own crazy, usual Kofi stuff as well.
Yeah. Jumping on then, the... Is it Seth Rollins or was it... I can't remember whose back it was. Someone's back off the ropes. That was pretty cool.
I know there was the bit where he did... There was the bit where he flew in on Joe. Oh, when he got chokeslammed onto the ladder as well. And then Braun Strowman broke through the second ladder. Oh. That was just great. When he broke through that second ladder... And you know what I'm going to say, John?
No.
It was brilliant that he broke through it. The sell from Kofi on the ladder was great. It was entirely made by Miz's reaction in the ring. Miz setting up the ladder, ready to climb it, sees Braun storm through, freezes completely in place, just stares at him with the gormless look on his face, and then the camera slowly zoomed in on it. And I was just like, oh God, Miz, I love you so much.
Five chub, 100% chub, 110% chub, almost.
Bursting out of the pan chub. Like, I haven't watched any of the... You watch some of the WWE reality shows, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I watched it when I was in America in the hotel. I was not feeling very well, and I watched all the new episodes of Total Bellas, where John and Nikki break up. Although, as I said to you in the car the other day, it was a little fake, but then that's because they kind of did it, allegedly broke up, and then the guys went, yeah, you know how you broke up last night in private and you're really upset? Can you just refilm that tomorrow in a really... basic hotel room. Yeah, great, thanks. I've watched a lot of Divas.
I'm definitely watching Miz and the Misses.
Oh yeah, I knew you would, because you're obsessed. You are Mike Mizanin's biggest fan.
I just huge.
You are disgusting. But I get it, he's great.
Okay, so overall feeling about Raw, because we don't need to touch on all the little bits. Lashley Roman's being set up as a thing, fine, just let him get on with it. I just don't care at this point.
Yeah, whatever.
Just keeping a holder in place for Roman, and you know, if Lashley beats him, that might be interesting. But poor the Revival yet again, just being made to look poor.
Oh, I know. What are they doing with them?
Jinder basically squashing Chad Gable, similar thing. Why are you killing NXT talent? I just don't get it at all.
Do you think Triple H is there going, oh, hey, Vince, here's some new... No, you've squashed them. Great.
Yeah. So I've got these great British guys coming over soon. You can just kill them as well.
By the way, you'll be pleased to know that Jason Jordan is rumoured to be making his return at any moment. So That'll be good. From SmackDown, the things I got written down, nice to see Sanity, nice to see them being brutal. And finally making their debut.
Yeah.
The other thing, something which I've seen a lot on Instagram, and if you follow Jeff Hardy, you'll have seen that at house shows, he's been doing the paint for ages, but finally on TV, he's doing the paint and the old contacts, which is nice. So, hopefully we'll see a little bit of a different side of him, a bit more Brother Nero.
I think, yeah, that's going to be coming down the line, isn't it? No doubt about it. It wasn't the best SmackDown. There's been better weeks, but again, there was some nice build stuff. I think the Becky Lynch getting the win, I think she's going to start a bit of a run, like I've already said, but that's, you know, not the only ones that... Apparently I'm not convincing anyone of that, but the Gauntlet match just turned it from a, you know, yeah, fine, to, yeah, to must watch.
Yeah,
just watch that 45 minutes, whatever you do, make sure you watch that this week. We should talk about, I mean, the way again, Owen's what I was saying about the stuff, the way he came out when they're the monster in the bank section and Braun came out to say that he wanted Brock Lesnar ASAP.
Yeah.
And Kevin tried to come out and be like, we should have each other's back. I know what it's like to hold the Universal title. Offered a handshake and Braun just absolutely went to kill him and Kevin powdered it. It was just great. And then Ronda. Back to Ronda again, because we just only really mentioned it before, but the opening section was... I'm not wrong in saying that was awesome.
No,
right?
Super hot. Yeah, I loved it. And now she's suspended for an indefinite amount of time so she can go and do a prearranged thing she had time off for, probably.
Like, Alexa was amazing, on the mic, completely hateable. Rousey is like Lady Stone Cold at the moment, which I know is very big to say at the moment, but that's how it feels like right now. Between that and the IC changeover, I was like, this is the best hour that Raw has ever done. And then it just got a bit average after that.
Yeah, I kind of, again, with Raw, like, they do a big sort of big start now, don't they? And I'm cool with that because I often fall asleep after about an hour, as I say, and then just watch the main event. It's quite nice, actually, because they set up the kind of main event at the beginning normally, don't they? And then 2.5 hours later, I can watch it. So,
little snooze, you're fine.
Yeah, it works for me.
We're recording this about 45 minutes before NXT starts.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Actually, I'll watch NXT, but it will just be the two pre-show matches from
TakeOver. Yeah.
TakeOver. I'd be interested to know if they might consider... No, they're going to hold back all the stuff from Monday and Tuesday.
They
I was
are.
Just thinking, because WWE tweeted about the tag title change, whether that might... come up or not, but normally
not.
All they do is just show backstage segments, little bits of highlights, TakeOver reaction.
There's definitely Dakota Kai, isn't there? Yeah,
Bianca Belair are doing a match and there's an EC3 match on, so it'll be decent enough.
Do you want a bit of breaking news, Will?
Breaking news.
9:15 on Thursday morning. All In have announced that they have decided in favour of licensing production, so it will be 100% broadcast in some capacity, but they will release details in due course.
Ah,
so that's good. It'll be on a streaming thing, won't it?
For all the you know, bluster and blunder of it being about, you know, proving we can do it and stuff, still a massive money-making extravaganza. Like, these are businessmen. They know what they're doing. Right, I want to finish off because we're giving the Rousey the push. Let's hear from Triple H talking about Ronda Rousey and Shawn Michaels talking about Ronda Rousey. And there's a great story in here about... the WrestleMania build as well, which I think you'll really like. So, despite the fact that we're now again at like an hour and 20 minutes, let's hear from Triple H and Ronda and Shawn Michaels giving Ronda Rousey all the love.
Having spoken to her since the beginning, her passion and her drive for this, to me, made it perfectly reasonable that she might be this good at it. Once I kind of got in there with her the first time and just kind of got a feel for her natural movement in this, been saying it since the day that she signed with us and we started talking about it, she's going to shock everybody. I've never seen anybody grab it as quickly as she has. And I mean, Kurt Angle would probably be the closest to it because he just took like a fish to water with it. But she has no right to be anywhere near as good as she is, but she just gets it. And she gets it. Like, not even...
More from just the physical aspect.
Yeah, the athletic aspect. More than, she just gets it across the board, and she wants to entertain, and she's loved this probably from before anything else. It's almost, you know, and she'll say this in interviews, and I used to hear her say in interviews, and that's a nifty thing to say, but like the whole, she truly believes that all the other stuff that she did was to get to this. Like, and when she would say it at first, I would go, yeah, it's a cool way of saying it, you know, but like legit, I think it is. Like, this is what she was supposed to be doing. Her route to get here was different than everybody else's. Her route to get there was, you know, going through judo and, you know, coming up through MMA and the whole thing to get to where she is right now. But it truly is like she's, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and it hasn't surprised me because she's a stud. If you know anything about what she's done in her career, it's not surprising at all. And I think the only reason nowadays it's surprising to anybody. It's because, you know, and again, respectfully, everybody's gotten so used to holding her to this unattainable standard of something that's just, again, you know, sometimes you want your athletes to be something more than that they are, other than, you know, human people.
Human beings.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so, but she is a freaking athlete. She is a jock, man. And she's been a stud athlete from the time she, you know, again, she's
been young. It's been ingrained in her since a kid.
Yeah.
So there was a day when we were prepping for WrestleMania where she came down to the performance center and got food poisoning on the way down. And just 24 hours straight, just throwing up nonstop. Like, we sent medical over to her, the whole thing. Next day, she showed up at the performance center, crack of dawn to train. And I was like, I showed up for thinking I was going to do something else. I was supposed to train with her, but I was showing up to do something else. And she walked in. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you showed up. She's like, yeah, let's go. And she just started going and going and going and going and going. And like, this is like, she's only stopped throwing up for a few hours of 24 hours of food poisoning. And now she's starting to, like, she's changing color and she's getting greenish but she is going. And I finally, like, I called her over and I was like, we're done. Like, this is ludicrous now. And she said, no, I got more. I can go. I'm pulling the plug, right? We're done. This is going to be bad for you now. Like, she just will not stop. She is relentless. And like her team said afterwards, like, yeah, she would have gone all day.
Yeah. She's an overachiever, to say the least.
Yeah.
But again, that's what makes her, she's the reason she did what she did and changed the landscape.
She changed the world.
You know what I mean? But normal people just don't do that.
The story of her with the food poisoning, just unbelievable. And I wasn't that bothered about Ronda Rousey coming into WWE. And then I saw what it was like in New Orleans when everyone was loving her. And now I'm...
You're all in.
Don't say that when it's WWE. This has been a very WWE heavy show.
Yeah, I know it has.
Really.
Yeah. You know, it's been a lot going on with WWE this week, and I have to remind you that, you know, if you do like your WWE merchandise, to check out the t-shirts from Urban Species, which me and Mia will have modelled quite frequently. You know, last week I mentioned that I was wearing the Chris Jericho one around LA. They've since tweeted that, right, Urban Species, which is great, you know, because obviously I'm wearing their t-shirt, you know, and we've got a little code and all that. I kind of said that I was getting a lot of attention, meaning, like, blokes were coming up to me going, yeah, Jericho, or, like, saying, like, Walls of Jericho across the road. They've said it as if I was getting loads of female attention, and it's saying, like, John was getting lots of looks as he walked around LA this week, which, you know, big up Urban Species for making me sound more sexually attractive than I am.
You're a good-looking man, and don't you dare suggest anything other.
Thanks very much. If you want a T-shirt from their range, don't forget Mark's 10 in the old promo code section. We'll get you 10% off.
Beautiful stuff. Right, mate, let's Mark's 10, remember that. Let's wrap up and head off into the night and say thank you so much to everyone for listening and tweeting. We had loads of love on social media throughout the UK tournament, so we really appreciate that. As always, iTunes reviews are really, really useful. They do make a huge difference. It doesn't take you more than a couple of seconds. Even if you listen to us on a non-Apple device, you can get on your PC and do it on iTunes from there, and most people still have it on there. It does make it, like, I know it sounds needy, but it does make a massive difference. And then just follow us on Twitter at Instagram Pro Wrestle Show, and we'll have some really exciting stuff over the coming weeks, including I'm on the way to booking up our female wrestling special. Pro Wrestle Eve are getting involved, and we're hoping to get a couple of female wrestlers in as well. So
Isla Dawn, we need Isla Dawn.
I'll put in the ask, as they say, in the biz.
meaning you'll send her a really lazy tweet. I get
it. You know me so well.
Yeah, no.
So thank you for listening. This has been the Pro Wrestle Show.
Have a good one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.